You know, we think money will make, if we're materialistic, money will make us happier. If we have a bigger house, if we have a bigger whatever, more money. But it's not true. If affluence is a disease, what is the cure? If materialism is a poison, what's the antidote? Well, Paul wrote, right where you are, this letter. And if you want to take out your pen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you something to write in your Bible. This is what I have written in my Bible. This is what someone taught me a long time ago when they encouraged me to think deeply. By the way, I grew up, I don't even know if you know, I grew up in Lansing, and I grew up with the Romneys that used to own Michigan National Bank, and the dad was the governor when I was here. And I was in partnership. I used to be in real estate with them. We used to do apartments and student housing and everything, and they were grooming me to be a businessman. And I remember when this godly older man came along, he says, "Do you want to see a theology of wealth?" He said, "It'll change your life direction." And what he did is he took me right here, starting in verse 7. Look at 1 Timothy 6. And he says, you need to cultivate a theology of possessions. You need to not be allured by the wealth of these people and think that that would be better than whatever else the Lord might have for you. Don't make a decision purely with monetary price tag, with a value on it that's merely monetary. And what he said is you need to know how to promote and protect contentment, which is how you resist materialism. So let me just show you this. I have this written right in my Bible, right by verse 7. This is what it says. Paul wrote, "We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." And I wrote in my Bible, "Always remember things are temporary." Now, that's a truism. I mean, you don't even need to write that down. You all know that. But maybe you should write it down to remember it. Always remember things, possessions, stuff that can be made and bought are temporary. People last forever. That's why I constantly tell the kids, you cannot get mad at each other and just be violently angry over a thing, because the person is more important than the what? The thing. See, things are only temporary. We were driving up to Word of Life, it's north of Albany, up Route 87, I-87, and as I was driving the kids up there, out of the corner of my eye, we had gotten off, and we're going on one of those pretty side roads coming back on, and I just caught just a flash. I can still see it in my mind, though. I saw, in the green hillside, I saw a house, and I saw everything around it, and before I could tell the kids to look at it, we had zoomed by. And I explained to him in the car, and this is what I told him. I said, "You know what? I just saw something." They said, "What'd you see, Dad?" I said, "Oh, I just saw a house. It must have been about an 80-year-old couple, maybe 90, that had died. Or one of them died, and the other's in the nursing home or something. Because you could tell the house was frozen. It looked like a 1920 house. It had all the stuff that the house, you know, the screen, the old-fashioned screen, the lattice and the screen, and the porch going up like this, and the little lilac trees, you know, all that stuff, and the little shed. And you could tell the way it was kept, it was an old, old, old couple." But that isn't what got me. What got me was you could see this gigantic pile right by the ditch. And you could tell it was stuff from inside the house. It was just being thrown out there. And then there was a series of tables going down the driveway. You all know what those were. That was the garage sale. And then the old couple's car, it was like a 1962 Fairlane or something. I don't know. I couldn't tell what it was. It was one of those cars you could tell it was 40, 50 years old. It was sitting there. But behind were the kids or the grandkids. I'm not sure who they were. I didn't see them close enough, but they were parked behind. I could tell it was Yukons and Escalades and all that stuff. And immediately it clicked in my mind. They died. And what they had in that house that they had spent their 70, 80, 90 years getting was either trash to the kids and grandkids, and that's what that mound was, or it's good enough to sell to someone else, or, and this is what, one person was walking out, and you could see the way they were walking into that Escalade. It was a treasure. Who knows what it was? Maybe it was a gramophone. Maybe it was a Tiffany lamp that the old codgers had, but they were putting that into their Escalade. It was all wrapped up. I mean, all the rest of their stuff was trash, or they're going to sell it, but boy, they had some treasures. And you know what I thought? In 50 years or 60 years or 20 years, someone's going to go through Mr. Escalade's house, and they're going to put pile in the trash, and they're going to sell that, and they're going to treasure this. Things are only temporary. Think about all that stuff you spend so much time guarding and protecting. As soon as you die, someone's going to have to decide, trash, garage sale, treasure. Things are only temporary, and yet we'll sacrifice time with the Lord, we'll sacrifice time with our wife, we'll sacrifice time with our children, we'll sacrifice time with the Lord's people because we want one more thing that's only temporary. And we sacrifice the eternal for the temporary. And God says, sacrifice the temporal for the eternal. That's what Jesus said. We'll see that next week. Number two, look at verse 8. First, we're to always remember things are only temporary. That's the first theology of possession. Secondly, only seek necessities, wait for the rest. Look at verse 8. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You should do a little test. Can you be content with just food and clothing? Or do you have to have the mini storage with, you know, the this and this and this, and you have to... When Bonnie and I first got married, we went to Grace Community Church, went on staff with John MacArthur, and we moved into a Step Saver apartment. I've already told you a story about that. And our first piece of furniture we bought was a couch. And we were with fellow, you know, 20-year-olds, and we all were establishing our homes. And do you know what all of our friends did at Grace? And not that they're bad, this is normal. They all went to Nordstrom's, and they all bought a $900 couch. And they put $25 down, and they financed the $875 at 0%, no payments till next year, and just $25 a month or whatever it was, $6 a week, endlessly till it was paid off. But instead, we took our $25 and went to the Goodwill store because Bonnie and I never wanted to be in debt. And so we bought the best couch we get for $25, put it in our little apartment. And I remember when we had over these very famous people to our house, and they came and they looked around and they said, well, we'll sit on the couch. And as they sat down, the cushions raised up. They looked like wings. And it was so cute. They were trying to be polite, and they went, and they pushed him down, right back up. And I see why the Goodwill got it, you know? But you know what? We would flip the cushions and sit, and we'd do everything to him, but that couch always did that. But you know what? Look at verse 8. Only seek necessities. Wait for the rest. Till you can afford it. You know, I'm not sure it's biblical, if you really, really think about it, to buy something you can't afford and hope that in the future you'll be able to continuously pay for it. Now, you know, if you've studied the theology of money, you know that houses for generations have been something that was not a depreciating asset that you could buy and pay for it for a long time. But everything else, it's unwise to do that. And you can think about that because the Bible does have a lot to say about debt. But here's the theology of possessions. Only seek necessities. And one of the great things to do in life is to keep reducing life down until we have the necessities. And it's remarkable how much anxiety is removed, how much more energy we have, how much less fear we have of loss and of destruction and of care. It's really exciting to seek necessities and wait for the rest.